Okay, everyone, we'll ask everyone to please rise and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening to the March 2nd, 2011 Comprehensive Rezoning Meeting. This program will pretty much follow what the Planning Commission did with the Office of Planning and Zoning and the staff. So on behalf of the board, we'd like to welcome everyone here. Basically, what we'll do is everyone will come forward. We'll swear you in, name and address, and then we'll go ahead and hear your testimony. You'll have about 5 minutes. We're not going to vote this evening. We'll do that after, you know, we won't vote like the Planning Commission did. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and read the statement that we have here. The Board of County Commissioners is initiating the second series of public meetings regarding the comprehensive rezoning process. In addition to tonight's meeting, we will also be meeting on Wednesday, the 9th of March, 2011, and Wednesday, the 16th of March, 2011, to hear change requests relative to the draft zoning maps, draft zoning ordinance, and draft subdivision regulations. All of the meetings will be held at 7 p.m. in this room here. Tonight's meeting will focus on change requests from election districts 1, 2, and 3. The meeting on the 9th will focus on election districts 4, 5, and 9. The meeting on the 16th will focus on election districts 6, 7, and 8, as well as the text change requests and late changes. The board will also be having deliberation meetings on Tuesday, March 11th at 7 p.m. and Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. and Tuesday, March 29th at 7 p.m. This is one of Eric's words, to ruminate on the testimony presented at the meetings on the 2nd, 9th, and 16th. The draft maps and draft documents will be introduced at our regular meeting of April 5th. I take it that'll be a county commissioner meeting?
Yes.
Okay, that'll be the county commissioner meeting on April 5th and be voted on at our regular meeting, which will also be a county commissioner meeting on April 19th. And both of those meetings will be at 7 p.m. When your agenda item is called, please come forward and present your testimony. Opponents and proponents will be given an opportunity to be heard. Staff will provide the recommendations from the Office of Planning and Zoning and from the Planning Commission. Additionally, the board has agreed to reschedule the items on tonight's agenda represented by Mr. Dwight Tomey Esquire to Wednesday, March 9th. These requests are 01-01, 02-03, and 03-01 through 03-06. So with that, we'll go ahead and start.
The first item on your agenda this evening is request number 0201. The owner is Canal Place, LC. The property is located at 109 Boatyard Road, Chesapeake City, Maryland. The applicant is Canal Place, LC, tax map 43, parcel 283. It's proposed to be Northern Agricultural Residential, and the request is to make it maritime business. Also, 0202 was filed by Canal Place LC, which is on the north side of Boatyard Road in Chesapeake City. It is also owned by Canal Place LC. It is located on tax map 43. It is parcel 236, and it is proposed to be Northern Agricultural Residential, and they are requesting maritime business designation.
Good evening. My name is David Gilday on behalf of Canal Place LC. Looks like I'm the leadoff hitter the entire rezoning process. It's an honor to be before you all. I do have a packet of information with some exhibits that may be helpful to walk you through this. I represent Dan Marine, the Dan brothers, who have property which is on the canal. It's a fifth generation company. They have obviously been here for a long time. We are proposing a rezoning request tonight, which is but a first stage in a long process to create an agricultural port on this property. We think this is going to be a one-of-a-kind facility, not only for Cecil County, but frankly for the entire region, and be able to serve the agricultural industry for the entire industry. We are quite excited about this project. Again, we are at the early stages. There are significant approvals that we will need to obtain from you all, from the state, as well as from the federal level to do this agricultural port. A little bit about the property. It's shown here on the PowerPoint. There are two properties on either side of the tributary that we are seeking to have rezoned. You can see on the southern portion there is the existing port facility that has been run by Dan Marine for some time. We are seeking the two parcels. It's 0202 and 0201. To be rezoned. We did receive planning staff's recommendation as well as the planning commission's recommendation to rezone it to maritime business. This will be a water dependent facility. A little bit about the use. The proposed use is intended to be an agricultural port, so the farmers would ship their product into this facility, and then the product would then be barged to either Norfolk or to the Port of Baltimore or some other locations. There was a study done in 2005, it's tab 4, at the initiation of the Cecil County Trust that essentially, and you can read it at your leisure, but essentially concluded that this is an ideal spot for an agricultural port. It also, in that study, and this was again 6 years ago, estimated that the cost per bushel for soybeans was anywhere from 21 cents to 42 cents per bushel savings in transportation costs. Now, that was before oil was at 100 and some dollars a barrel, whatever it is now. So those costs are likely significantly higher. Right now, the farmers need to pay for trucks to ship the product to whichever port it goes to. So it obviously hurts the bottom line for farmers. So a couple policy considerations for you all as far as this rezoning request. Number one, we believe, and we are talking to other stakeholders as well, and we believe that they hold the same position, that this really will provide for agricultural sustainability and viability, not only in Cecil County, but in the surrounding Maryland counties, Delaware, Eastern Shore counties, as well as Pennsylvania. The reduction in transportation costs, that's where the farmers really get hit, and that's their bottom line. What we believe, it's going to reduce sprawl. There's going to not be as much pressure on the farmers. Their businesses will become more viable. So you know, we believe that this will reduce sprawl. And frankly, it's a preservation tool. I know that Cecil County has a very strong preservation. A lot of the properties are in mouth easements or MET easements or your own easements. But this is a preservation tool outside of that. I mean, this is going to continue to make farming viable. We also believe, and we've been talking to stakeholders and reaching out to folks, that it is an economic development play. There are going to be jobs created, number one, for the port, and more importantly, it's going to keep those agricultural jobs viable. The environment. Obviously, this will have a very good effect on the environment. Number one, we're going to be reducing a lot of truck traffic, and we've already been talking to the state about that. So it's not only infrastructure, and there's been lots of discussions about not having adequate funds for our roads and bridges, but taking the trucks off the infrastructure, as well as reducing pollution, because there won't be as much truck traffic. Obviously, we'll have a much smaller carbon footprint. A little bit about the Dan family. They have lots of farms, but surrounding this property, they have 500 acres. That property is in a MALF easement, and will continue to be farmed. So they are preservationists as well as folks who own Dan Marine, and they are obviously committed. You know, that's one of the reasons why they got this idea, is that they're farmers, and you know, they saw the impacts on themselves. They have been reaching out to lots of different stakeholders trying to get input, and they're basically on a listening tour right now to ascertain and make sure that people do want this, that the farmers do need this. And so far, they've gotten a tremendous reception. And then lastly, I will end with there are some questions from the Planning Commission. This will need significant regulatory approvals. You know, we're in the critical area. There's going to have to be a growth allocation. Obviously, a rezoning. This is our first step. It will have to go through the typical site plan review process. We have MDE issues. We've already had some preliminary conversations with MDE, which are, frankly, very encouraging. And we have some Corps of Engineer issues. So by no means is this an easy project to complete, but we think it's it's an exciting one, and will serve not only this county but the region well. Thank you, and I'll take any
questions. Any questions from the board at this time? Mr. Gilday?
Yeah, what the parcel on the east side of the creek, what would you use that parcel for?
Parcel on the east side of the creek?
Yes.
Right. So there are essentially both sides of the creek will be used for staging areas for when product comes into the property. Originally, the original design was to have the barges along. May I step up here? Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
The original idea was to have the barges along this area here. The concept now is to place the barges here. We would have to move the existing bridge, and we've been talking to NDE about that. So we need both sides to stage the barges instead of going down here.
Would you replace the bridge?
Yes. We'd have to move the bridge.
Is that your bridge?
Yes. It's an expensive proposition, but it, you know, that's the only way it's going to work.
Hey, Mr. Gildea?
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of this proposal for the sustainability of the ag industry in Cecil County. I was wondering, is this limited to ag product?
Yes. I mean, we were talking to some conglomerates, and we believe at this stage that it's simply going to be an agricultural port for a lot of reasons, mostly operational, but there's also the demand is so great for an ag use here.
Okay. And you had mentioned before that there would be covenants put on the property that it would be to be used only for this use?
Yes, we'd be pleased to accept any suggestions about covenants for the property. We have one intended use for it. I know that we are rezoning it to, or would like to have it rezoned to maritime business, and there's possibly some uses in there that you all may not feel comfortable with, so we would be happy to covenant that we would not use the property for whichever use you don't feel comfortable with.
About townhouses.
Yeah, townhouses, condos, you know, all those things, we'd be, right. be pleased to do. No,
you've been before the commissioners before with a concept to load stone in the barges, too.
Is conglomerate,
that
yes.
Is that
stone.
On the table?
Stone. No, that's not on the table. That We reached out to the various conglomerates, the stone quarries, and it does not appear as if that's going to be feasible. But as of now, the performa still suggests that it can stand alone as an ag, as an agricultural port.
Is it a good idea to limit yourself just to ag?
Well, frankly, we hope that we can, you know, have full capacity with ag, and we're basing our performa and are basing our project that it only will be. In the future, with your all's permission, you know, there may need to be flexibility, but at this time, everything, the project's based on it being purely ag, and it works. It works.
Any other additional questions? How many bushels are you looking at to store landside before you load? Just out of curiosity.
We haven't drilled down to that detail yet, but we have folks who are very familiar with these concepts and doing site plans. I hope to have a site plan to you all in short order. It's currently in the works.
Okay. Any other additional questions before I turn it over to staff? It's a very ambitious project. I'm very interested in it, and if it's going to lead to sustainability in agriculture, I'm okay with it. So, okay. All right. Mr. Centrum?
Thank you, Mr. President. Change request 0201 and 0202 from Canal Place LC for parcels 283 and 236 on tax map 43, both requesting maritime business from proposed Northern Agricultural Residential. Staff, as well as the Planning Commission, has recommended approval of both change requests.
Okay, and then we'll be voting on this. Let's see here. March 7th.
No.
March 22nd. Somebody said the 7th. Huh. And we'll be right here to do that. So we'll deliberate and we'll have a decision at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on your agenda this evening is change request 03-02. John and Cindy Federolf are the owners. Property is located at 45 Appleton Road in Elkton. The applicant was Dwight E. Tomey. Tax map 307, parcel 1139, is proposed to be multifamily residential. They are requesting business general.
Hi, I'm John Federolf.
And I'm Cindy Federolf.
We do own the property at 45 Appleton Road. Is currently used as a garden center. It has been that way since 1995, I believe it was established as a non-conforming use. It is in a residential area. The primary goal for us to have a zoning change is the fact that we are limited to our sales on this piece of property the way it exists. Primarily inside sales is about all we're really allowed to do. We would like to expand and offer other items for sale, but it does, like I say, limit us as to how much product we can actually have in the area. The property is about 4.5 acres. It is right at the intersection of Route 279 and Appleton Road. It is currently all conclusive to the 100-year floodplain, so it does not really... property is not conducive to development as a residential property or basically as commercial property. We don't really make a big impact on the rest of the residential area. Obviously, everything else up Appleton Road for a ways is all residential. We are just a hair over a mile away from the truck stops and all the commercial properties that the town of Elkton has up that way. Till you get to there, basically it is all zoned residential at the moment. We do have the church and the school there, the Baptist church and the school. The rest of it is primarily undeveloped other than one resident that is directly behind our property. With the zoning change, we could sell outdoor play structures, gazebos, that kind of thing. That is really our immediate goal for the property, is just to try and make it a little more beneficial for our uses. I believe that's really it.
Since we're on the term of sustainability with the first one, agriculture and agriculture-related products, I mean, for doing the outdoor issues that you want to do, I mean, that would just increase your sustainability there as a garden center.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Basically, right now, we really can't do anything else with the property other than what we're already doing. And to make it a complete full garden center, we need to be able to add the other things.
And just my general question, I mean, you guys are doing well there financially, just right where you're at. I mean, so this would just enhance.
We're doing okay.
We're hanging
okay,
on.
Hang. I know the economy's not good, but I just want to make sure that we're on this ag thing. So, you know, if we can help you sustain and more viability to the growers.
Right, we try as far as plant material. We do deal with a lot of local people to supply those things to us. We deal with a few people in Kent County and Lower Cecil County. So a lot of our product does come from the immediate area.
Okay, good. Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I've frequented your business, and it's a very nice operation. There is a major thoroughfare running through there, so I can see that it's a great access. Just want to say that.
Any other questions? Okay. Staff?
You want to ask if anybody wants to speak in favor?
Oh, I'm sorry. Anybody want to speak either in favor or opposed?
Change request 0302 from John and Cindy Federoff as the owners. Dwight E. Tomey, the applicant. Tax map 307, parcel 1139. Proposed to be multifamily residential. Requested to be business general. Both staff as well as the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Okay, thank you. And again, we'll deliberate on Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. here.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Change request 0307. The owner is James Bench. It is located on the east side of Singley Road, north of Leeds Road. The applicant is James Bench. Tax map 20, parcel 512. Proposed to be village residential, requesting business general.
Good evening, Mr. President, Commissioners. My name is David Parrick, and I'm here tonight on behalf of James Bench, who is the owner of the property shown on tax map 20 as parcel 512. This property is approximately 2 acres in size, and as is shown on the aerial at the present time, the property is zoned VR Village Residential, and we have requested that it be changed to BG. The planning staff recommended approval of this request. The property is located approximately 400 feet north of the roundabout at Singerly Road and Leeds Road, and there's approximately 325 feet of frontage on Route 213. Mr. Bench has owned this property for about 33 years. He also presently owns school buses. He has owned school buses for years, but presently he has 11 school buses transporting about 600 to 700 pieces of our most valuable cargo each day back and forth to school. BG is the only zoning classification that would permit him to use this property for purposes of parking his school buses. Now, I know that Mr. Bench has written a letter to each of you and set out in that letter some of the locations of businesses or commercially zoned properties in the area of this property, so I'm not going to go through that right now. I would, as a lawyer, have to refer to some law and say that in comprehensive planning, the comprehensive plan and the maps effectuating that plan are supposed to be well thought out and give consideration to the common needs and the common circumstances of the area. So I suggest it's appropriate to consider in a rezoning also the question of, that is a test in other zoning cases, that is whether the proposed zoning would prevent or negatively impact the normal and orderly development of the neighborhood and of the zone. The village residential district that is represented at Cherry Hill, I would suggest, is pretty much already developed. The actual historic village of Cherry Hill, I again would suggest, is centered on the intersection of Old Cherry Hill Road and Elk Mills Road. It's there that you find the older structures. It's there that you find the institutional structures of that community. When you move to the Singerly Road side of the equation, the properties along Singerly Road, say from south to north, at the right-hand or southeast quadrant of the circle, there is residential development there, which is multifamily, primarily multifamily and rental properties. Diagonally across the intersection is the Cherry Hill Plaza, a commercial establishment and commercial undertaking. To the immediate west of the circle is a pond, which I've found is owned by the Cherry Hill Improvement Association, which is a defunct corporation, but the pond is there, has been there. It's fished by, as I see it, lots of different people. It apparently is a community sort of pond. Property which is immediately southerly of the bench property is the Lipman, Dr. Lipman Dental Practice. And I've asked that Mr. Black kind of focus in on that a bit. You can see he has identified by the cursor the property that is the Lipman property. Now, this property is actually zoned VR, but as you can see from the parking lot itself, essentially it's a commercial type of use. Again, the street view shows you the same thing that I've talked about. The parking there probably accommodates 25 to 30 vehicles. Now, immediately adjacent then to the Lipman property is the bench property, and you can see there's already an entrance into the bench property from 213. Going further north, the next property is a property that is residentially zoned, residentially used, but as you can see, the residence fronts on Cherry Hill Road. Again, what is a part of the traditional Cherry Hill neighborhood. As you go further north, again, there are two residences that are shown in the aerial. The first one was built in 1982. The second one was built in 2004. In other words, that side of 213 basically is built out. The next piece, which is at the intersection of Old Cherry Hill Road and Singerly Road, is actually owned by you, the county commissioners. It is, in fact, it's owned by you, subject to the covenant that it never be used for anything other than open space. And if it were used for anything other than open space, it actually reverts to the owner of the property at the time the county had gotten the property, which was 1976. Now, sometimes I would suggest to you that it may be difficult to see the tree for the forest around it. I would ask Mr. Black to show the zoning designation for the VR district in this immediate area, the immediate area of the subject property. And to the west side of 213, that property is zoned VR. However, again, when I say it's sometimes difficult to see the tree for the forest, the situation with regard to that property is this. In 2003 and 2004, the Planning Commission for the county had approved a proposed residential development on the west side of 213. It actually would extend from 213 all the way west to Blacksnake Road. The portion of the property that was zoned VR then and is still zoned VR today was less than 31 acres. Of that 31 acres, the concept that was proposed and approved by the Planning Commission at that time would have used 12 or 13 acres of that, approximately 13 acres, 12.98, I believe, for commercial development. 140,000 square feet of commercial space was what was proposed. The The point is that of the residential portion of that, there were 56 units proposed for the VR area. The theme, the architectural theme that was presented at that time was that the commercial area would be developed in a Williamsburg style concept, and that the homes would be Nantucket colonial, again, keeping with the village theme. The point coming to today is that in 2004, after the approval of that concept, W.L. Gore & Associates purchased that property, the 31 acres of what is now zoned VR. That 31 acres, the public records show they paid $2.3 million for. I have not a clue what W.L. Gore may have in the way of plans or for future use of that property, but I suggest to you that you don't, you can't pay $75,000 an acre and later on develop that property without a commercial component to it. Now, I'm not suggesting that they intend to do that. What I am suggesting is this: that VR area on the west side of 213, for all practical purposes, is not likely to be developed in a VR manner. If it were actually developed in a residential manner, then it would make even more sense for Mr. Bench's property to have a commercial designation. If it were not, then what I'm suggesting to you is that given the fact that all of the property on the east side of 213 has already been developed, it is not unreasonable at all and makes good planning sense to have this BG, have this property zoned BG. Now, again, another principle of zoning law applicable to comprehensive rezoning is that you, as the legislative body, are sought to make the most appropriate uses of land consistent with the public interest and safeguarding the interest of individual property owners. As I say, Mr. Bench has paid taxes on this property for 33 years, unable to use it in the business that he has, again, transporting students back and forth to schools. We think that the planning office, your staff, your paid professionals were entirely correct in recommending approval of this. We think it's entirely consistent with the principles of zoning generally, and we would ask your favorable consideration to make this a BG property.
Any questions from members of the board to Mr. Parrick?
I have a question for the staff. Up on the northeast corner of Leeds Road, 213. There's red hatched area. What does that mean? The red hatched area.
That's the multifamily residential, proposed to be multifamily residential.
Yeah, that's currently an RM zone, I believe. Is it not?
Yes, the red stripe is supposed to be RM. I have the proposed zoning showed now. If you want, I'll turn that off and put on the current zoning, and the current zoning is the same as the proposed zoning for these parcels here, RM.
And all the blue diamonds or triangles are VR?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Village?
Village residential, yes, sir.
I have one question. We're going from VR to BG. Why not business local? Would that still give you the bus?
Would not permit bus storage.
Wouldn't it? Okay.
Please understand, NAR would permit bus storage as a special exception. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of straining at a gnat to swallow a flea, or whatever that expression is, to say, okay, we'll take 2 acres of land and make that NAR. Again, the suggestion that I make is that with the existent development that has occurred with respect to this area, that it makes eminent good sense to have BG there, although for Mr. Bench's purposes, as I say, that's the only thing that would permit him to park his buses on there.
Okay. So that's the goal and objective of the zoning is for the buses.
I'm sorry?
The overall goal and objective of the zoning request is for the school buses to park there.
But one of the questions, one of the comments at the Planning Commission was, well, they don't want to see another gas station there.
That's all.
And that's entirely understandable, but I suggest to you that without saying you can't do this, you can't do that, because again, once you make the BG zoning BG, then whatever is permitted under BG is going to be susceptible of being done. But Mr. Bench's use of this property, even to park his buses there, is going to require going to the planning staff, submitting site plans, and dealing with issues such as buffering from adjacent properties, water issues, you know, everything across the board. So it is not like carte blanche to say that the BG zoning could be there.
Any other additional questions before we turn it over to staff? Anybody in the public want to speak in favor or opposition?
I'd just like to make a comment that the Borics had school buses up the street a little further for 40 years. At the Borics Drive, they've had their school buses.
Make them stand up.
And the school's right there, too.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Kunda. I live at 83 Nicholas Drive in Elkton. My partner for 18 years, Jim Bench, has owned that property for 33 years. Originally, he bought it with the intention of putting school buses on it. But at this time, even to attract drivers to have school buses on that property, to say that that is the sole purpose for this is not real. And knowing what I know about what's coming with BRAC and businesses coming to this area, that is a prime location for a business of substantial importance to that community, whether it be a medical arts center or some other kind of business. Certainly not, as Mr. Mortimer had said in his hearing, a gas station. That would never be our intention. And just to reiterate what Mr. Parrick said, whatever happens, whether we sell the property or it stays in our possession and we decide to build it, it still has to go through your staff or approval for any kind of permits or zoning approval. So I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to just recommend that you vote favorably for this BG. Again, your staff has, they allowed a parking lot in front of a residential area for Dr. Littman and Dr. Phillips. I don't even believe that Dr. Littman is aware that we have a comprehensive plan. He's a Baltimore resident, so we've been in touch with him. He's approached us about purchasing the property before he had the privilege of putting one in front yard. So that's it at this time.
Mr. Parrick, I just have one quick question. How many acres is this piece of property?
Two acres.
Two acres.
Yeah, as I say, about 325 feet on Signally Road itself. I've asked Mr. Black to show something of the hydrology, and you can see that water course running through there. That is something that anybody is going to have to deal with that property, but I would suggest that it answers in part this question of, you know, is there going to be another gas station there? I don't think so. Not with MDE. You're just not going to have underground storage of... Well, I don't want to say that because I'm no expert in that, but I suggest that it's highly unlikely.
Sure. Well, in other words, what you're trying to say is there's a tremendous amount of hurdles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, I point out, you know, Mr. Bench has contributed to this community for 33 years, not just in paying the taxes on this property, but he performs a valuable service to this community. And as I say, safeguarding individual property owners' interests is an integral part of comprehensive planning.
Okay, Mr. Parrick, since you brought that up, it would make a big difference to me if I knew that the surrounding property owners, with their individual property rights, that they were in support of this. So we're voting on this on the 22nd. If I could see that, I would be more inclined to support it. My concern is the significance of change of character that would impact the area.
Okay. One thing that I wanted to point out, Commissioner Broomall, is just that, again, the property immediately adjacent to the north, as you can see, mm-hmm. is developed. That is a single tract. A single owner on that track, And you can see that the residence that is on that is oriented on the Cherry Hill Road. The point is that, again, with buffering, the potential for noxious or obnoxious uses of property is greatly diminished when you've got that kind of situation. And I'm not at all trying to tell you how to run your job, but again, zoning is not supposed to be simply a plebiscite of the neighbors. It's a question of, does this make sense? Is it something that would adversely impact or prevent the normal and orderly development of properties in the area?
Sir, thank you. Is there any...
Not trying to dodge the question. We'll try to address that. But okay. If you came back with three property owners saying, gee, we don't want that, that would not be at all surprising in zoning matters, as I think all of you are aware.
Sure. Is there anybody else who would like to speak in favor or opposition? Just please state your name and your address.
Christopher Diebold, 131 Old Bayview Road in Northeast, District 5. I'm a property owner in this area. I own the one-third acre to the northwest corner of Leeds and Cherry Hill Road, and I am fully in support of this rezoning application. I believe anybody that owns property on a state highway should have the ability to do business development. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, we'll turn it over.
Mr. President, do you want to ask Mr. Montgomery if he wants to testify?
He put both hands up. Yeah, was that surrendering, Mr. Montgomery? Are you going to save your powder for when you come before us? No, that's okay. It was a courtesy. All right, we'll turn it over to staff. Mr. Senstrom.
0307, owned by James Bench. Applicant is James Bench, tax map 20, parcel 512. Proposed to be village residential, requesting business general. Staff recommended approval of this request. The Planning Commission recommended disapproval.
And again, we'll vote on March 22nd at 7 o'clock here. So thank you very much for your presentation. Okay.
0308. The owner is Edgar and Patricia Folk. The property is located at 1 Old Farmhouse Lane in Elkton. The applicant are Patricia and Edgar Folk. It is on tax map 309, parcel 444. Proposed to be light industrial, M1. Requesting to be suburban transition, ST.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. My name is Patricia Folk.
Edgar Folk.
And we do reside at 1 Old Farmhouse Lane in Elkton, Maryland. You have before you a copy of the presentation that we're be presenting this evening. A little background about our home. Our historic home has been in the family since 1940 when my parents moved to Cecil County. We maintained the property as a dairy and crop farm until 1962. One of the oldest structures in the county, the original portion dates to about 1760. Among its many outstanding features are its Flemish bond brickwork, its many fireplaces, and its beautiful circular staircase that runs from the cellar to the attic. Some members of my family still live in Cecil County. I chose to maintain the family home where my husband and I reside today. About 14 years ago, we restored our home to its original state. While it was a costly endeavor, it enabled us to better understand and appreciate the character and integrity of our beautiful home and its real historic value. All this being said, the expenses for upkeep and improvements are becoming an increasing hardship as costs and the need for ongoing upkeep continue to rise. The east, south, and west boundaries of our property, and I don't know, is it up here on the map? There it is owned by the Cecil County YMCA, and the northern boundary is owned by Delmarva Power Company. So we are essentially landlocked there, as you can see. When the YMCA built their facility, they granted us a limited access easement to our home that's only accessible from YMCA Boulevard. After they denied us the right-of-way for our water and gas lines, we obtained an easement from Delmarva Power Company, which comes off of Route 279 for access to water. And then a little personal background about my husband's family. While they reside in North Carolina, my husband maintained his medical practice in Cecil County for many years. Now retired, he continues to work to ensure access to care for those in need. This home is the only one I have ever known. I've always been engaged in my community as a volunteer, and both of us will continue to be actively engaged in our community to make Cecil County a better place for others. We plan to remain in our home for our lifetime, after which it will pass on to our family. We have absolutely no plans to sell, subdivide, or to use any part of our home or property for commercial purposes. Therefore, we respectfully request that our property be rezoned to from M1 to ST. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Yeah, the purpose of this was to reduce your tax bill.
Mainly,
yeah.
Yes, but also we felt it was more appropriate that our home have a residential designation rather than commercial.
What's the YMCA parcel zoning?
The YMCA parcel zoning is a business intensive BI.
Any other questions? Is your home on the National Historic Register or anything?
No, it is not.
No, it is not. I just looked at the date of 1760, so I was tempted to ask. Anybody here speak in favor or opposition of this request? Okay. Any other questions from members of the board?
0308, the request of Edgar and Patricia Folk for property located at tax map 309, parcel 444, to go from the proposed light industrial to the requested suburban transition. Both staff as well as the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Again, we'll know on March 22nd at 7 o'clock. We'll deliberate right here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Okay.
That concludes your agenda this evening, Mr. President.
That concludes. Do we need a motion to adjourn, or can we just go ahead and?
You can adjourn.
We can just adjourn. Thank you. Staff's recommendation is to adjourn. Thank you very much.